All right, straight up at 8 o'clock, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of The Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have had you here if you've been with us the last couple of days. We've been going over some kind of liner notes, footnotes, if you will, about the Inflation Reduction Act. It's the U.S. federal law now, which aims to curb inflation by not only reducing the deficit, lowering prescription drug prices, but investing into domestic energy production while promoting clean energy at the same time. A lot of advantages to be taken by the homeowners and average consumers and Americans of all ilk. And then to talk to us about that, a couple of people this morning. Jonathan Light has retired from banking. He was in banking for 40 years, and I'm looking at him to make sure I got all this right. He was responsible for the North American balance sheets of BNP Paribas. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
BNP Paribas.
Okay. Well, Chloe. Hey, all right. I got it. He was in charge of interest rate risk and the American balance sheet. And liquidity risk positions. And now he is a volunteer and one of the co-leaders for the Laguna chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a nonprofit think tank. And would I be correct in saying that?
Yeah, they're perfect. We call ourselves a nonprofit, nonpartisan grassroots advocacy organization working to build public support for passage of various climate-friendly legislations with our elected officials.
I'm glad you said it. In with him is Gwen McNallen. We've had Gwen on the program before. She's the former president of the Laguna Beach Democratic Club. And as I said in my introduction earlier, one of the sharpest political minds in our area, and someone I always turn to for crisp information about what's going on. And for her, we'll be doing that in just a little bit. Thank you for being here, Gwen.
Thank you so much for having me, Ed.
Thank you. Love having you both. This is a conversation that's important, and the listeners were fired up over the last couple of days over it. And I'm going to give you, somewhere in the middle of this, I'll give you the thing I heard the most from the listeners, which was my first concern when the legislation passed. So I'll wait just a moment for that. But if someone, for instance, and I'll just start with this, I'll start with the most obvious question or the question I've heard the most. If someone here in Laguna Beach owns a property that was built in the 1960s that's heated with gas and they have gas appliances, what kind of grants or tax incentives would they qualify for, and what kind of retrofitting would they be responsible for?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Educating our community is the most important thing right now, and what we're trying to do is get the word out that we can go green, we can grow our economy, we can save consumers money both on the purchases of their appliances and on their electric bill going forward, or their appliance-related bill going forward. So what type of rebates? There's rebates and tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
The tax credits are available today if you buy if you have to upgrade your electric panel. You put in a new electric stove, you need to upgrade your panel. The stove, the panel are covered in tax credits. Heat pump, which is called a heat pump and air conditioner, mm-hmm. they have tax credits. Rooftop solar has tax credits. If you weatherize your house, if you're on the East Coast and you really need to weatherize it, mm-hmm. West Coast and you need air conditioning, you weatherize your house, you're getting a tax credit.
Regardless of income. And I think that's what's really important
right here,
too. I mean, what's exciting about this is that there's something available for everyone. I think what's interesting about it is like the wording, like you mentioned the word heat pump, right? Like I didn't know what a heat pump was, right? Before
right.
I looked at this bill. The heat pump will actually replace your furnace and your air conditioner, you know, and into one unit, and it's electrical unit.
It's actually going to take the same footprint. I actually visited a friend of mine who recently put in a heat pump air conditioner. His air conditioning unit's outside in the same cement block that his old one was.
Right.
The heating unit is inside his cabinet or garage like used to be. It looks exactly the same to me, but it's more efficient.
Okay.
And that's the thing. It's cheaper and more efficient.
So this was massive legislation when it passed. It was incredibly important with so many working parts, so many moving parts. Why has so little attention been paid to it, Gwen?
Well, I think what's most important here is it's called the Inflation Reduction Act.
Right.
And I think that is that in words don't mean anything to anybody. It doesn't tell me it's green. Doesn't
right.
tell me it's got clean energy built into it. So I think that's why we're here today, is to educate people. The opportunities for us to actually be able to make a difference on climate action
right.
with this bill is incredible. And, you know, we talked about the Green New Deal and people talked about that for a long time. This is not that, but this is close to that. This is a really incredible package to all of us homeowners and small business owners that can take advantage of this regardless of income, like we said. And but it's rolling out now. So there's going to be more information at all times. Right now, like John said, the tax credits are available, but the rebates are going to be coming in this year where you're going to get money back. For you upgrade your electrical panel, you get $4,000 to help pay for that, right? Regardless of income.
And some of it will be upfront discounts, especially for the lower income people, because laying out the money for a new stove or a new heat pump, that's hard. So the discounts are going to be up front. You don't have to wait on the rears to get that money.
Right. So instead of putting out $6,000, instead of pulling $6,000 out and putting, I'll get a discount of some kind.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Lower income people can actually get some of these things, services, almost 100%, depending on your income.
And you mentioned that, you mentioned, and rightly so, that it didn't get a lot of attention. It's named the Inflation Reduction Act, and that just doesn't sound sexy. But it does sound like something that you can get through an opposing side of Congress or opposing the other side of the aisle, if you will.
Exactly. Right. And I want to add to it that it does several things. It makes our economy more green.
Right.
It saves. It's good for health. And one of the stats I found last night is if you look over the next 15 years, if this rolls out the way it's anticipated, we'll save over 9,000 premature deaths.
Wow.
And that's because of the particulates in the methane that you have in your gas stove.
Right.
So when you turn on your gas stove every day, turning it on brings methane into your house. Running it brings methane into your house. And methane is dangerous to heart disease, lung disease, childhood asthma.
It has more than 80 times the warming power of carbon dioxide.
Bingo. And that's another thing why it's green.
Right.
We're worried about carbon emissions and methane emissions warming up our planet. We've seen all the disasters that came through with this. I can give you a nice little stat about disasters, which is scary enough on itself.
There's nothing I love more than stats on disasters.
Especially after the earthquake. But we had 18 different billion-dollar weather-related or climate-related disasters in last year alone.
Wow.
And that cost the economy $165 billion. More importantly, caused 474 deaths, just those events. And those events are happening every 18 days right now.
Right.
Back in the 1980s, they happened every 80 days or so. So they're happening more frequently, more with more severity. Up through September of last year, there were 29 of those around the world.
Yeah, that's why this is so important to get the word out about this, because this will have an impact on it, right? And but if nobody knows about it, you can have all the incentives and all the rebates in the world, but they do no good if nobody knows about it.
If nobody's taking advantage of it, then nobody's getting the benefits from it.
Exactly.
And it's out there for you.
And for your working people, we lose a lot of work days every year from sickness, asthma, or other health-related issues. This bill is projected to save 6 million days of work lost over the next 15 years.
Wow. So let me ask you this. So the first thing that struck me, and I got to be honest with you, first, I love cooking with gas. I love the way my food comes out. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and I can definitely tell the difference when I cook from gas or when I cook from electric. Anne Marie will share with you how much I hated our electric stove. So with that said, if we make these changes, as these changes are being made, they are currently not mandatory, correct?
Correct. It's more what we believe, it's more planning ahead.
Right.
Your stove is going to last X amount of years.
Right.
When you're going to replace it, we're hoping this will incentivize you to replace it with an induction stove. And hearing you the last few days talk about stoves, I grabbed some facts.
Please.
And
I knew you would.
10 myth-busting stats about induction cooking.
Okay.
Personally, we don't have an electric stove, but we will replace ours with one.
Okay.
But I have two friends who swear by them. But I got off of a website, and I can get to the website later, myth-busting, 10 facts. So, first of all, a lot of top chefs are now using induction cooking. Because it gives you more control. People think gas gives you more control, but in fact, induction cooking, as this quote, responds far quicker to temperature changes because it works with the molecular structure of the pan to more efficiently control how fast you can get the pan hot. One of the ones I've got here that I know scared one of my friends. She was worried she'd have to change her cookware. She says, I love my cookware, and I don't want to change it now if I get an electric stove. Right. And the answer is most cookware today works with induction stoves.
Okay.
What I think is so important about this is, like, if it, right now, there's nobody's taking away any stoves. I mean, that's a Republican talking point.
Out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. But that, you know, of course, certain, you know, political factions have decided that they want to make that a big deal because they want to, from fear. Fear motivates. But the reality is, what we found is a health concern, right? Is that what they're seeing? But they're going to do more data, right? They're going to pull more information to make sure. And if it is, and if the gas stove manufacturers cannot modify their product to make them safer for people, it makes sense. It's kind of like when, you know, cigarettes came out, right? People said, oh, they're fine. They're healthy for you. Well, people started smoking. When they found out it was bad for your health, a lot of people quit, right? And so, you know, that's also part of it here, Ed. It's like, you know, I think we alarmist rhetoric goes a long way.
It does change a lot.
Like, you know what? Make good choices for your family. If I had little ones in my house, Ed, right now, and that I was still in my home, which I don't, I would change out my stove just based on the data that I see now.
Right.
I mean, we take care of health and safety is important to me and my family, right? And to most families in America.
We've changed the way we cook.
Way to put your finger on it.
We use the fan above the vent, the exhaust fan above the stove now. We never did until we really saw all the stats on how bad the methane is in our kitchen. We're usually cooking with the windows open, but in the winter, we're putting the fan on.
Right.
But when I put the fan on, I can't hear you on the radio because the fan's still loud.
Oh, yeah, see?
So already it's an inconvenience having that fan.
It's already a big problem for me here.
So I got to turn up the volume really high.
So how is this going to help Americans in the driveway?
So do you want to do this or want me to?
Electric vehicles are obviously being incentivized.
Right.
But what's most important, a lot of times people's electrical panel cannot upgrade to charging electrical vehicles. So that is really important. The rebates on electrical panels, the rebates and the tax credits on the electrical vehicles, even used vehicles now, for people, for low-income people, are going to be have a tax credit attached to them. Another thing about the driveway, you want to share a little more? Or did I touch
on
that?
Sure, no, you hit it. I'm going to just mention, try and get a little more detail here for people.
Okay.
The used car, you'll get a $4,000 rebate. The car must be 2 years or older. That's an EV.
Okay.
And
but that's only if you're $50,000 or less income, right?
I believe so on the used car. On the new cars, you get a $7,500 rebate.
Yep.
So on the used car, the car itself has to be 2 years or older. Is there a limit to how old an electric vehicle can be?
No, not at this point. Not that I know of.
Okay.
I just know it has to be over 2 years to be considered a used car to get your credit.
Okay.
Because the technology has been pretty much consistent over the years since they came out.
But
so that makes sense.
What I want to say is we actually bought an EV in 2022.
Right.
We put in a charger in our garage because it seemed to be more convenient. I've got to tell you a couple things about that. One, I love the fact that I don't have to run down to the gas station and wait online. Two, I feel better about running a emissions-free car, which is much more efficient. I realize I read a gas-powered car, 80% of the fuel you put in is wasted. It's because we start a fire in the front of our car called the engine, and most of the energy is used to cool that engine so it doesn't catch on fire while we're driving.
Right.
Some of it's wasted. But going back to...
And the fossil fuels that are now spewing out of the tail end and killing everybody 20 years down the road.
Yeah.
But now some of the tricky part. So we put an electrical outlet into our garage for the EV. You need a 240 amp. We needed an electrician to come in to tie it to our panel. We needed to make sure that we had enough room in our panel to fit that. We did. But some people may have to upgrade a panel. If it's old, if it doesn't have enough room, you'll upgrade it. So there's going to be a charge from your electrician to put in a new panel, but there's a tax credit or an upfront discount for things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. You're going to then, assuming you want to put one in, which is more convenient, we did that.
Right.
Going back to your electric stove, we don't have an electric stove today. But we've actually contacted our electrician to say, do we have enough room in our panel now to hook up the new electric need for that stove? And how would you do it? What will it cost? What I'm suggesting to people out there is start planning ahead. Your water heater, I think the life of a water heater is less than 10 years. Your hot water heater, think about making that electric. Will you have to put a new outlet or receptacle near it.
Right.
Your heat pump, your air conditioner. Will you have to do that? Your stove. For us, I think we might be lucky. Our old panel says that it's got a the amperage and the circuit breakers already for a cooktop stove. I'm guessing the people before us changed from electric to gas because they thought gas was better.
Right.
And we're going to, when it's time,
switch back,
and we may be lucky and not even have to rewire. Right.
And a water heater that's electric takes up substantially less room in the garage or wherever you happen to put it.
So, yeah, I think the key here is the electrical panel is going to be a rebate of $4,000 by late 2023. And I think that's something that everybody, I mean, in Laguna Beach and listening to this, really needs to take a look at and do. And because of many things, and you can use it for all these different opportunities to upgrade as you as your appliances run out. And but also, you know, you haven't talked about solar. So solar's on
that's
here, too.
Next on my list. Now, look at you. All right.
Which I love what I learned because we're thinking about changing to solar at our house, have been for a while.
Right.
So you get 30% off the equipment and installation cost of your solar. And you never really know what those are going to be until you get somebody comes to your house and tells you what, you know, your rooftop is like.
Right.
But also, if you do, if you upgrade your electrical panel at the same time as you do put in rooftop solar, you get 30% off your entire electrical panel installation and equipment as a tax write-off as well. And that'll be combined with the $4,000 rebate if in late 2023. But even right now, 30% off your electrical panel upgrade and rooftop if you do them at the same time. I mean, that's a big, big savings for a lot of us here.
We can tell you that because we did that 2 years ago. We put in rooftop solar.
Okay.
And it was a little more than we expected because our roof, the shingles, weren't strong enough to hold the panels. So the people took off the shingles, tiles, took off the tiles, put in shingles, put in the solar on top, and then retiled all around it. You can't tell. There's no tile underneath the panels. It looks like the same tiled roof we had before. That's all covered.
And is with the competition of all the different solar panel companies, is the price of solar panels going down as a consumer?
As a consumer, it has gone down. I haven't checked in the last year, but it's gone down from 5 years ago through 2 years ago for sure. The price keeps dropping, and I imagine they still are.
And the storage. There's also a 30% off your battery storage installation, which is important if you have solar because you can save that during the night. So like say you have an electric vehicle, you save the storage from the sun for the day and you can charge your vehicle at night.
There you go.
So, I mean, there's just so many different benefits. And if we all did this, what an impact we would have on our climate,
on this
climate crisis.
On the impact on the climate, just a couple more quick stats, if I may.
While you're looking for those, I wanted to say, how do we find more out? How do our listeners, what website do our listeners go to?
Yeah, there's two different websites I recommend. And one of them is the White House, whitehouse.gov. / clean energy. And it will tell you everything that's available on this. You put in your information. You can actually sign up for email updates because as we said, so many of these things are available now, but some are not. They're rolling them out. I mean, this is a big, big act.
Right.
And there's a lot to do on it, right? So bureaucracy takes time to turn. So sign up for the email updates because you'll get a notification when all of a sudden the electrical panel rebates are now available to you, right? So you can find that out. Plus there's another one called Rewiring. Rewiringamerica.org, and it specifically, if you wanted to go to this calculator that will tell you what you are qualified for, it would be /APP/IRA, Inflation Reduction Act.
Thank you.
-calculator, and that one's really helpful. I went in there, and I mean, I found out what we were going, you know, what we were looking at doing, and what's available to us, and I'm super excited about it. I hope a lot of people are.
And that one really tells things in details. You'll put in your address, as in zip code. You'll put in your household income. You'll put in how many family members you have, and what your tax filing status is. And we've given that to a lot of people to look at because all of a sudden it tells you, oh wow, here's what I can do now if I plan ahead. Now I know what's available for me personally.
That's perfect. So I'm astonished by the number that we came up with, that this law is projected to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by 2030. And that's 40% less than our emissions were in 2005. I know the goal was 50, but 40's not bad.
Let me put a little asterisk by that. That is what's projected, but we actually have to have the transmission lines. When we add the clean electricity, we're going to increase electrical power by threefold. We need more transmission lines. So it will reduce by 40% if we get those transmission lines up. So we're working with other nonprofits to talk to Congress about how do we get projects like this passed quicker.
Was money allocated for that, for the transmission lines?
I don't believe money, well, for the transmission lines, maybe, but for what I'm specifically talking about, we need the laws change. The average time to build a transmission line, let's just say we have a solar farm or a wind farm in Montana, and we want to bring that electricity to California, you've got to cross several states with transmission lines.
Right.
That project takes average of 10 years.
Right.
4.5 years just to get the permitting.
So
we need that
to
go faster. The money is there for people. And more, just as important, the money's there for businesses and the money's there for nonprofits. Surprisingly enough, nonprofits can get a tax credit in the Inflation Reduction Act. It sounds like an oxymoron. How is that possible?
Right.
How do I get a tax credit if I'm a nonprofit? The answer is when you make your changes, you're passing on those tax credits to your contractor, to whoever's doing the work. So the money's from the government just passing through and still being used. So that means schools, municipal buildings, faith organizations.
Nonprofit radio stations.
Nonprofit.
Possibly. Why not? For it, yeah.
And renters. We haven't talked about renters, but renters have it. You don't have to be a homeowner to get the tax credits and the upfront discounts. There may be less available for you because there's less you can do as right. you're renting, but renters also get rebates.
And part of that is there's some portable heating and air conditioning units that a renter can use the incentives for and the discounts to be able to purchase, and they can move from place to place when they move. So, you know, those are options for them as well.
And last thing, for those who are economically incentivized, this should, according to one stat, over the next 15 years, save U.S. households $60 billion in cumulative electric bill savings. It will drive up our GDP by somewhere over $425 billion. And for those people who are green out there, it should save 2.9 billion tons of cumulative carbon emissions.
But I think
those are large numbers.
They're fantastic numbers, but I think this really important part is only if we take advantage of it.
Bingo.
Only if households in this country do this, right? So that's why we're here today. And thank you, Ed, for having us, because I think it's critical that we get the word out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't, that those results will not occur.
Agreed.
And we're actually going to different city councils, different areas, different organizations. And Ed, we appreciate you being one of the first we get to talk to get the word out to I don't know how many listeners. But that's the idea, is let people know that there's this free government savings account that you can take advantage of. There's money out there.
That's what they should have called it. It wasn't sexy enough as the Inflation Reduction Act. They should have called it free government money.
Exactly. That would have gotten people's attention.
Free money up to $14,000 in upfront discounts, up to $22,000 in tax credits. Now, again, that's income-based, so the level goes up and down depending where you are. But that's free money that's available to you. Nobody told you you had this savings account, this government savings
right.
account. We're here to tell you it's out there.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions, one from a listener, and then I'll roll into my question about nuclear power with you. But the listener question kind of made sense. So I like to get home on a cold, rainy night or whatever, turn on the fireplace. My fireplace is a gas log. How do we envision my fireplace looking in 30 years? Will that, I won't have that flame anymore. I can't burn wood anymore. What will my electric fireplace look like?
Boy, that's a tough question. I'm not sure I have the answer, but I imagine there'll be some type of technology.
Made to look like a gas fireplace.
Right.
And it would put out the heat in that direction, but yeah. more of a electrical.
Yeah. Like heat coils, but
yeah.
some other method.
Yeah.
Will it have that ridiculous hum that heat coils do?
That's a good question. And we'll have that
question.
Nice smell from being up in the East Coast of a nice fire, warm,
wouldn't that
log
be nice?
Fireplace.
Of a pine burning.
Right. Yeah. Jonathan, so we are, with this bill, with this law, we are investing $30 billion in nuclear power. How do we expect that money to be spent?
And I'm afraid I'm not sure I have that answer exactly. I don't know, Gwen, if you've researched that.
I haven't, but I do know the Inflation Reduction Act has many different. It's nuclear power, but also wind power.
Right.
And so many parts of it that are really important to as pieces of this bill. But I think based on our Citizens Climate Lobby action and that we are involved with, you know, the Carbon Dividend Act, if we can get that to pass, tax and dividend would be really important. And also this part of it, and electrifying homes has a bigger impact than even a nuclear power transfer does on our climate action and the keeping the temperatures down on our planet.
And I would say there's no silver bullet. I'm going to steal a line from somebody. There's no silver bullet in fighting climate change. Right. It's a silver scattershot.
Yeah.
And so when we add nuclear and solar and wind and as much as we can do that's carbon neutral or carbon free, that's how we move forward.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the most important thing. So we advocate for any climate friendly bill that seems to fit that. We believe a carbon fee and dividend is the best and most efficient way of reducing carbon emissions in our economy. The dividend actually offsets the higher cost of fuels with the tax. And most people come out ahead. I believe it's the bottom 60% of earners are ahead. And mostly the bottom 80 or the top 10% are the only ones who use up more carbon than they would be allocated, so to speak.
So it would cost the government nothing.
It doesn't even increase the government.
Brilliant.
I call it a carbon fee.
Yeah.
I don't call it a tax because it doesn't grow the government because all the money comes back to the people.
To the people, yeah.
That's our number one thing to push. But carbon neutral, carbon friendly things like the Inflation Reduction Act, this is fantastic. This is the biggest piece of climate legislation in our lifetime.
Yep.
It's ever.
Right.
And this is a big deal. And we just need people to understand, take advantage of it. Get your free money.
Absolutely necessary. And you have given me hope this morning. You really have. You've given me the guy who is now not wanting to cook or not wanting to cook. You've given me a little hope.
I'll send you that list of the 10 reasons.
Please do. And before we go, I want to make sure our listeners have the right places to go, the email address again or the website addresses again. But while I have you here, Gwen, much like I do everywhere I see you, I try and pick your brain on some political stuff happening, if you don't mind. We know that Senator Dianne Feinstein may or may not run again, more than likely will not run again. Katie Porter has thrown her hat into the ring for that seat. Katie would be leaving a seat open in Congress when she does that. But then again, we have Adam Schiff, who's been right here on the program before, who I like just as, and I like both of them. I love Adam Schiff. I love Katie Porter. I like them both. What do you see that, and Adam Schiff has $40,000 or $40 million to spend. What do you see that race looking like?
I think it's going to be a really difficult one. Both of them are prolific fundraisers. And why? Because they're fantastic. I mean, they're really great Democratic leaders in our party and in our country. And so I think it's going to be very, very tight. And I think there's no way we can know yet. Both of them will be going after all of our votes. And everyone I've talked to, we all love them both.
Right.
So it's like, it's going to be a very difficult one. And I think it'll come out with endorsements. Endorsements will be big.
Right.
And what endorsements they each secure, because that's what a lot of educated Democrat voters will look to make their decisions as well.
Can I throw one more name in? I believe in Northern California, Barbara Lee has also
suggested
she would be running.
Right.
And she would be formidable with those two.
I'm going to ask you how smart a move it was for Katie Porter to announce so early, because if in fact, God forbid, anything happened to Dianne Feinstein or she steps down early or whatever, then the governor would be then appointing that position as a temporary thing, temporary basis. More than likely, you would think he'd go, okay, well, she already is announced. Here you go. That was a pretty savvy move, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And at the same time, I mean, Governor Newsom has indicated in the past that he would put a woman of color in that position,
right.
I think. I mean, so I don't know. We'll see.
Does he need to be held to that litmus test of does it have to be a woman of color?
I do not think so at all. And I think it's important. Well, I don't want to be in his seat if that were to happen because it'd be a difficult decision to make for sure.
And okay, so when Katie Porter vacates that seat, then now her seat is open and we've got Dave Min and Harley Ruda now battling for that seat. Dave Min would leave the state Senate seat he's in. Harley Ruda would be now trying once again to regain that position. What do you see that race looking like?
Again, I think that one's going to be very difficult, and it's interesting sitting here in Laguna Beach with both of those. Well, the 47th district is ours right here, and so it's going to come very close to home, and we're going to be, we're on the front lines of it. But I think, again, as a... As a Democratic leader in this city at this time, you know, we're inviting everyone to our club to speak, all the candidates.
Right.
We want everyone to hear their voices. And we support both of them as fantastic leaders. Former Congressman Harley Ruta did a great job in Congress for the 2 years he was there. Really happy with the results he had. We were super disappointed when he lost the seat to
Michelle Steele.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't going to name her, but yes. and it was fantastic that Katie Porter was able to keep it in this very red district that was 70% new for her this last year. I think both of them have a really good chance or a good shot of keeping this. Well, we will keep this district. Right now, the only person I've heard who's running for it is Scott Baugh.
Right.
I had heard rumors that possibly Michelle Steele would switch back and maybe run in this seat on the 47th. I haven't seen that yet. So, but either Dave Mann or Harley Ruta would be, I think, fantastic opponents against the Scott Baugh.
And I would like to take this moment right now between now and 2024 to book you about 50 more times on the program. I really would. I love hearing from you. You've got your finger right where it needs to be on the right button. And as we move back into the Inflation Reduction Act.
Okay.
Give us those websites again.
All right. So it's whitehouse.gov/cleanenergy. You can get a lot of information there, and you can sign up for email updates from the government for when the rebates and the different things go live once they're launched. And then currently, right now, a fantastic one to learn a calculator for you to be able to punch in your details into to figure out what advantages you can gain from this Inflation Reduction Act is Rewiring America. That's REWIRING America.org/APP/IRA-calculator.
Thank you so very much for that. If you missed any of that, you can call me here at the radio station. I will post this on our podcast page a little bit later on. They can get it that way as well. And as we roll out, Jonathan, if you want to talk to a homeowner and give a homeowner that first step to take.
So the first step to take is go on the calculator, see what's available to you. We'll tell you all the discounts, upfront discounts, all the tax credits. Then look at it and say, what makes sense for me to do? How do I plan ahead? And I would suggest today, think about talking to your electrician if you have one, or think about asking somebody just to look over your house, what it takes, what it would cost, how long would the projects be, so you're ready. What do you need to do in advance? Give you one quick example. Your water heater goes out, your hot water heater. You don't want to wait 2 weeks for an electrician to get an appointment, to get the appliance, now to switch it from gas to electric. You want to be ready in advance. So know what it takes, know how long it takes, and plan ahead.
Sound advice. With the Laguna chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby, Jonathan Light, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you very much for having us. We very much appreciate it.
Let's do it again soon. Gwen McNallen, let's do it again about 49 or 50 times between now and 2024.
Well, only for you, Ed. You make it fun.
I appreciate that. 8:33 the time on the Mornings with Ed Show.